Tim Zhu, Sebastian Fundora, Sunday. The market with Tab Zhu is nice and short. He's $1.18. Fundora, $5. And there is a rematch clause as well. So if Zhu suffers what would be a shock loss, according to the market, he'll have a chance to make amends back in Australia. Certainly, Fundora is confident he can KO Zhu twice. The Zhu camp is adamant. They're not worried. While conceding, though, it is a really difficult and dangerous fight for him. Of course, being taken on 12 days' notice. And, yeah, I mean, look at...
What's the height difference?
Oh,
I know you can see it in a photo, but what do we know how tall he is?
He's 6'6 against, what's Tim, 5'9"?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
But the fact you've been training to fight a different opponent. Mm. So this bloke's not only got the height, but he's also a southpaw, I was reading. So you've been training to fight someone completely opposite to what he's about to face. So I'm assuming, yeah, mentally, he'd have to be very good at switching on and switching his mind over to a new opponent and then doing video and training and getting sparring partners to... Well, how would you get a sparring partner to...
I think he did find one.
Did he find one?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Someone of that
I read last
that
week.
Height.
It just seems like he's that confident, Tim Zhu. He'll fight anyone. He just believes he is. It's his time now.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Confidence, because you know you can't be too confident, but you got to be confident
in that sport.
Yeah, but in that sport, I suppose you can't have
complete
any doubt
confidence,
at all.
No doubt.
I reckon even when I played, like you'd be confident, but you still had not doubts in the back of your mind.
When you're at your best, you reckon you did?
Yeah, and once I got into the game and got the feel for it, I knew. But I reckon I was always a bit nervous. Yeah. Always worried about something may go wrong. Even though you prepared well, I was always one of those guys that always thought, oh, hopefully this goes well for us. But you always knew in the first minute or so. Like, once you got out there and competed, you know, your blood's running pretty quickly and the enthusiasm levels are high and you feel like you got plenty of energy in your legs and your legs aren't heavy, then you felt like you're ready to go.
It's the original Queensland Derby this weekend, the Cowboys and the Broncos. The boys from Townsville then will host the Titans next week, and tickets can be purchased at cowboys.com.au/tickets. They're the only unbeaten team after three rounds. Gee, it was a strange game, was it? There they are, 18-4 down against the Dragons. And then they pour on 42 points straight in barely 40 minutes of footy. And joining us is their coach, Todd Payton. Todd, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And appreciate your time. How did the players turn it around the way they did after that, I guess, tough start? And then to pour it on like that, incredible turnaround, Todd. How'd they do it?
Oh, we're able to make it a bit of a grind. We needed to trade some sets and we weren't doing that early in the game. It was stop start. Dragons come out, you know, on the back of a loss and we're running super hard and got a bit of momentum. Some of our D wasn't good enough, and when we're able to trade some sets, we've got a bit of momentum. So when we do that, we're hard to stop.
Toddy, take me back to your pre-season and just your decisions around change of leadership. I think at the time that's always spoken about, but I never think it's praised enough when you make some tough decisions. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but keen to know your reasons for doing it. And then again, the start to your season has been outstanding.
Yeah, well, it was kind of around future-proofing us down the road. We've got a cohort of players which are closer to the end than the beginning. And, you know, the next generation of leaders are Tommy Dearden, Ruben Cotter, Murray Taulungi, Jeremiah Nenai. And just felt that if we could make a change now, with the new captains coming in, they've got the great support around them that they can lean on throughout this next 12 to 24-month period. So when those players move on, the captains, they're ready to go, you know. So, that, you know, it was an easy decision, but a difficult conversation or two. But with respect to Chad and Jace, they handled it great. They've shown great humility ever since, and they've been really supportive of the two captains. And playing some decent footy too.
Toddy, it was a sensational 2022 by you guys and not so great 23. So when you reviewed the season, mate, what came out of that and what were you looking for the team to improve on and what did they need to improve on if they were going to have success this year?
Yeah, well, I felt we started behind the eight ball in 22. We didn't get our full squad back till post-Christmas. We had nine of those guys in the World Cup and, you know, we only had 5 week pre-season essentially as a squad. Thought we were underdone to start the season. And then, you know, didn't win a couple of games early. Then suspensions, injuries hit. And I think we were 2-5 after 7 rounds. We chased our tail all throughout that origin period. Had to squeeze a lot out of those origin guys while backing them up, only because of our ladder position. And then, you know, we fell off the cliff in the last month of the comp because we were exhausted. But in saying that, we lacked discipline. With our style of footy, we had far too many sin binnings and suspensions, and you know, teams were willing to grind it out longer than we were. So, big focus on that transition to style of footy throughout this pre-season. We had an extra 7 weeks prior to Christmas as a group, so we were able to get a heap of work in on. And you know, it's evident that if you put in the work early and get a good pre-season under your belt, you set yourself up well.
Massive game Friday night against the Broncos, mate. What needs to improve to try and get another win here, make it 4 straight?
Yeah, we haven't put together an 80-minute performance. We're nowhere near it. Some of the tries we've conceded aren't where they need to be, you know, particularly against the top teams. We're under no illusion that while we're 3-0, we're nowhere near the type of footy or the style of footy that, you know, will get you a victory against those top-tier teams. And we're playing a top-tier team this weekend in their home ground off the back of a loss. So they'll be revved up and there's always a great rivalry between us and the Bronx, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, I saw you said this week, we are too nice. In what aspect, I guess, are you talking about there, Todd?
Oh, we're just too nice and literal on the ground. So got a lot of young guys that, you know, obey the referee's every word. And if you look at, you know, the better defensive teams, they just push the limits on every tackle. And I'd like us to be, not so nice and not so honest.
Toddy, just with your squad, have you got any room to bring other players into the squad? Because I'm just sort of reading and looking, you know, your Leilua, you let him go back to the Dragons. Hess is out for the year. Obviously, Lukey will be back at some stage. But, geez, I tell you what, if all those three were there, you had plenty of depth. But I'm just wondering if losing all those three, have you just promoted some young guys or you're still on the lookout for someone else to come into that squad?
Yeah, so currently we've got 28 roster spots, and so that means we've got 2 left. Yeah, so we're always on the lookout. We've made a conscious decision, you know, just to keep a couple of spots open this year. Last year, we went in the season fully committed. Yeah, so we're on the lookout. Every club's looking for a middle forward. We need an OB as well. So we'll just see what happens over the next course of the month, six weeks, and go from there.
It's nice and early in his coaching career, but tell us a bit about James Maloney's impact there in Townsville with the squad.
It's been great. You know, he's got an energy about him. He doesn't sit still. He doesn't shut up. He's been a good foil for Justin Morgan and myself, who've been coaching now for a decade. Morgan's been well longer than that. And we can be a little bit short and intense, and he breaks that up pretty well. He's got some good ideas around what he wants from our attack, and he's made some subtle changes and significant changes to our attacking game. He's well connected to the spine. Tommy Dearden's always sitting down with him. Chad Townsend's got a great relationship from playing days with him. So he's been really positive for us. He's, in my opinion, he's probably still 75% player and 25% coach at the moment. But you know, that's changing from week to week, and he's improving day after day.
Has he got the new hairstyle? Yeah. Is that him in the dressing shed? I couldn't get a look. Yeah, with the ponytail or the piggy.
I picked pick him up from the airport for his interview. And he had this linen shirt on, pants, and long hair. And I drove past him. I didn't recognize him. He looked like a he had Birkenstocks and long pants. And I thought he'd straight off the plane from Europe somewhere, you know? So, yeah.
I thought that was him in the dressing shed. I tried to get a better angle. I couldn't see it. I think that's Jimmy Malone. What's he done to his hair? He's a character.
Yeah, yep. He's got a really prominent voice and it doesn't stop.
No, he loves it, Jimmy. Got to ask you about Jason Taumalolo, Toddy. And I know he's got issues with his knee, and I understand that as well as most people, because it's hard when you've got wear and tear there. Definitely looking after him, and you think that this will be the scenario if you're in those positions throughout the year where you will rest him?
Yeah, absolutely. I said it post-game on the weekend. This probably won't be the last time. You know, we've got a six-day turn between last game and this game, plus two travels. You know, your knee swells up on flights. And we're in a position where we didn't have to put him back on. You know, so, you know, we're just trying to manage him best we can from week to week so we can get, you know, most benefit from his play at the right end of the season. So, that's the way we're going with it.
Todd, really appreciate your time. 3-0, great start to the season, at least as far as the win-loss column is concerned, and go well against the Bronx.
No worries. Thanks for having me. See you, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Stuff. The Cowboys coach, $1.90 each or two with Tab. Can't split them. Plus 1.5 for the Broncos, in fact, at the line. Just team news for that match. So Tristan Saylor's in for Reece Walsh, who, of course, has the facial fracture. Adam Reynolds is back. Now they've lost Brennan Priokura. He hurt his ankle in training.
Each.
Yep. Oof. Well, okay. Well, what are you thinking?
Who do you like?
I think the Cowboys are favourites.
Adam Reynolds back in?
Yeah.
You still reckon the Cowboys?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay. With obviously no Walsh. Are you surprised they didn't move Cobbo to fullback?
No.
Was? No?
No.
Mm.
No. I think leave Selwyn there.
Mm.
In the centres with Katoni Staggs, mm-hmm. left centre, Selwyn right. Tristan, every time he came in, played really good footy.
You know the thing that's interesting
good footy.
You didn't have Cowboys in your eight.
No.
So after three games, you've now got them favourites to beat the Bronx.
Yes, on the back of the Broncos having
losing
Reece Walsh out, no Payne Haas. No Flegler from last year. They've got a lot of firepower missing from their forwards. That's what worries me with the Broncos as well. Their strike weapon, in terms of points, yes, you've got Staggs and Cobbo, but Reece Walsh is the key to all that. You know, so with him not being there, and the Cowboys playing some good football, I think the Cowboys deserve to be favourites.
They get Laybutt back from an ankle injury as well, who was so impressive early in the season. Mm. So. 3-0.
But this will be a good test. This will be a big test for the Cowboys, because you could argue they haven't played a lot of tough teams. Mm. You know, you could argue that Newcastle, Dragons, and I think the Dolphins, who weren't great early. So this will be a better indication of the Cowboys, and they've always had good contests. So I'm assuming this will be another great one. But I just think, given the Cowboys have won three, they look a more settled team than the Broncos.
I guess their issue is they've leaked quite a few points so far, the Cowboys.
It was concerned last week against the Dragons.
What a weird game that was.
Yeah, and it was always going to be a difficult game because the Dragons smashed up the week before. But certainly the Broncos, like, you compare this Broncos team to last year's.
Yeah, it's weaker on paper, isn't
it? Yeah, I reckon after about 3 or 4 weeks last year, I think the Broncos can win the comp.
Yeah, you did.
I looked at them and the size of them and the speed and everything else, and they had that confidence about them. Whereas this year, they'll still be there, no doubt about it, but you want to make sure they're winning games, because last year they were able to manage State of Origin really well. This year they're going to have the same amount of players in State of Origin, but it's how they manage their players through that period, because the previous season, they didn't handle it that well.
Sydney FC, they're women's side in the A-League-W can wrap up yet another Premier's plate. It would be their fourth in a row, in fact. They're just got to beat Canberra United this afternoon. That match is 4 p.m. in Canberra, and great to have their coach, Ante Juric, joining us. Ante, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, gents. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on again, and the 3-0 win against Adelaide on Sunday afternoon. So, obviously, with a short turnaround, why are you confident the girls won't be a bit flat heading into this match this afternoon?
Oh, we've got a lot to play for, as you know, as you mentioned. So, I'm definitely confident that we can still play well, even though it was a turnaround. We didn't really train during the week, but we're in Canberra now. It's nice and cold. I'm actually from Canberra, so I'm used to this. It's cold, but it's a perfect day in Canberra.
What's impressed you most about your squad this season, aren't they?
I don't know if you know, Clarkie, but I think we lost 10 players from last year's championship team. We've went to Uzbekistan at the start of the year. We lost about 5 key players through injuries. So to get through this and to be where we are is pretty remarkable, to be honest, and I'm super proud. So, but we're taking nothing for granted, but that's what I'm most proud of. It's been a tough road.
The top six separated by just 6 points, I see, Ante. So, you know, describe the standard of the comp this year all round, as it's pretty close.
Yeah, all the teams have improved. So, you know, a couple of foreigners here or there have come in. All the clubs have invested a lot more since the World Cup. You know, clubs have taken it serious in the women's game a little bit. I think with all sports have done that in the women's game. So, yeah, that's why it's gone a lot closer, and that's probably why the league's a little bit tougher and everyone's close on the ladder.
Yeah, you mentioned the World Cup and, how well the Matildas played, and they would have inspired a lot of young girls to obviously take up the sport. But have you noticed just in the group itself a determination and a willingness of the girls, starting to be aspirational and want to be a part of the Matildas, and therefore they've worked harder on their game?
Yeah, enormously. And we're a kind of club that, has some of these young players get into the Matildas. You know, I don't know if you know, but we've got Vine, who was a star at the World Cup, and she's with us. Yep. Starters, made the national team. Yeah, so in terms of our team, obviously a lot of the girls want to make those teams, especially when you've got a Vine and a Jada who are in our current setup. But, you know, we're quite a young team, so these girls are definitely looking at future World Cups, future Olympics and future representation. So, yeah, from our point of view, superb, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that with the young team. How do you control the nerves for today? Not only do you want the 3 points, but the opportunity for minor premiership. Do you feel or have you felt there's a few nerves around leading up to today?
No, I haven't, but you never know with youngsters, especially the new ones. We've been young for a while and we've won 3 in a row, so a lot of experience, even though they're young. However, the new players potentially who haven't won things might be nervous. I haven't seen it, but obviously inside they might be a little bit. But we've got a core group that have won a lot, and even though they're young and only 21 and 22, they've been there and done that. So I think they've relaxed the others. But, yeah, they might be nervous. You know, players usually are inside, but they don't show it.
So you haven't won at McKellar Park there since 2020. So what are you expecting from Canberra today?
Oh, they're going to be tough. They always, as you guys know, when you're playing against the best team or a team that's been successful, they play their World Cup, and this will be no different for Canberra. They've got 2 games left, nothing to lose. But, yeah, we're ready, and we're, like I said, we're really in a good zone. So, regardless of that stat, I didn't even know about that stat. I'm not real fussed. It's not that long, 2 years, is it? I don't think we've been playing you 1 year. But anyway, we'll be all right. We'll figure it out.
Well, it'd be some achievement for the club to make it 4 straight Premier's plates. And hopefully you can do it, Ante, and go well for the rest of the season, heading towards the finals, of course, as well.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Ante Juric there, who's presided over a very successful season. Again, a successful period for the City FC women's side. So they won the championship as well last year because they had some issues in grand finals. Mm.
They lost the previous 3.
Yes, they had.
Yeah.
Mm. So finally got that.
I think it's
championship
been part
last
of the last
year.
5 or 6 grand finals.
Yeah, it's something like that, Loz.
Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? With the football here in this country, we talk about how A-League is struggling, yet the Matildas and the Socceroos last night played against Lebanon. They won 5-0, 20-odd thousand people there. Great support. I should have asked Ante about the possibility of a Canberra side coming into the A-League, because there has been some talk about
ownership
that.
Issues.
And yeah, but he's a Canberra boy, and you know, whether that was something that would be on his radar to be a part of that. But I know he played for the Cosmos back in, I think, 96, 97. So I think it would be an attractive proposition for him if he was to go back there and coach a local side.
Yeah, some love for Dee Stanley on the text line from Hatchie from the Heights. Please pass on my gratitude to Dave Stanley. I bumped into him at Albury. He was making a beeline for the bookies before the first with a fistful of pineapples. I didn't know he could move so fast. He tipped me the winner of the first. It was a fill-up from then on. Five winners, the quaddy twice, couple of multis, plus the BSB and punters panel multis made it a spectacular weekend. Hatchie from the Heights. We ran into Hatchie when we were down there for Albury Cup last year.
We did.
In the commercial club.
You know what I love about DS? So, and I don't know why I do it, but I do. Like on a sad day, I might be struggling. Put a bit of Burley out there and do the old, mate, you got anything?
Well, he'll always come back.
He always comes back. But this is what I love about him. This is what I do love about him. So you put the Burley out there, he comes back, gives you one. If it wins, you get about five in a row. Bang, bang, bang.
Right.
If it loses, he stays silent. There's no more. But he gets that bit of confidence about him, and then he's just on a roll, and then he just shoots them to you.
It's good to be confident.
It is, but it's just amazing how his mindset changes. But you put it out there, he'll give you one. If it wins, all of a sudden he's tipping you dogs, trotters, gallopers, everything. But if it loses, it's radio silence again.
He's not happy at the moment. He's moving house.
No, he's moving house.
Oh, yeah, well, understandably.
He's in the bad books, and he just wants to set the TV up. And he's,
you know,
getting
what?
Smoked.
Actually, he told me about his impending move, and he'll be happy when it's all sorted. He's done well.
Yeah. No doubt.
So
yeah, no doubt
he'll be sweet.
Yeah.
He will be sweet. All right. Now, we've got coming up this weekend just some more team news. Of course, Mitch Moses, the big news for Parramatta, out with a broken foot Easter Monday. Gee, it's going to be a good game, isn't it? Because the Tigers are going to be up and about. But 19-year-old Blaise Talangi steps into the hot seat in the halves with Moses out for the Eels and will oppose his Westfield Sports High School teammate, Lockie Galvin.
Great story.
Great little story. And Parra also get Mike Acevo back from suspension. And he's got to find a way to stay out of trouble. Mike Acevo, he gets reported too much. And, of course, we know what an asset he is for that club.
Oh, he's a good player, Acevo, isn't he? I think Bailey Simonson wasn't named in the 17, but he was named in the 20. One-man squad, so he could be a late inclusion as well. Interesting that they went with Blaise Talangi. I haven't seen much of him, but he has played in the halves before, obviously as a junior. But from everything I saw last weekend, he's got a bright future, hasn't he? He's got a big future in the game. Interested they still kept Morgan Harper in the team, because I thought that's where they were sort of attacking last weekend, down Talangi and Harper's side of the field. That's where Simonson may come into play. The loss of Mitch Moses, that's why I think the Tigers can cause an upset. Just, I don't know which way I'll go, but I probably will go with the home team at the end of the day, Parramatta, just through the ability to offload the ball. But just, you know, if they get no field position and they're relying on Dylan Brown to get them out of trouble with the kicking game, he's just not as long and as accurate as Mitch Moses. So, but it's good. Good that we're starting to see, well, not starting to see, but good to see young guys get an opportunity and they handle it so well. You know, Lockie Galvin, been very impressive for the Tigers. But the Tigers are going to take their home form away to CommBank Stadium. That's the biggest challenge for them on Monday. But I think last year it was a high-scoring game. I think it'll be another high-scoring game. Looks like it's going to be 25, 26 degrees. Usually this game's sold out. Be a great atmosphere. Both clubs will be ready to go. So I think it'll be an exciting game.
Parra, $1.47 with Tab. Tigers, $2.70. So 6.5 is your line there. Tigers, the plus. And just in the Good Friday game, Dogs and Souths, Cookie set to start again, at least on the team sheet. And Dean Hawkins stays at 7. So no, you know, mass changes as far as Souths are concerned, but good to see Cookie back in that starting side because, oh, boy, they were awful last Friday. Now, credit to the Roosters, who were great, but...
You sound like a player.
What?
Credit to the Roosters.
Credit to the boys.
Credit to the boys.
Yeah. I'll tell you, well, I'm sure you spoke about it on Monday, but I, between the races, I flick between the Dogs-Titans game. The Gold Coast wouldn't win Group 10 at the moment.
No, they were horrible.
Dreadful. Hence, they're now the most losses favourites.
I can understand why. Understandably.
Oh, what a loss. What a disaster.
No, he's a loss. I've said it. He's a loss not only for the Titans, but for Queensland.
Yep.
But I don't know where they go. Their halves, in particular, Tanner Boyd didn't have his best game. Oh, I think he was lucky to stay in that team.
Didn't have his best game.
After that performance.
It's awful.
It's a big game for them with the Dolphins because there's plenty of expectation on the Titans this year, given that Desi was coming to the club. They believe they've got a roster that should be playing finals football and they needed a harder edge, and that's why they got rid of Justin Holbrook. So things haven't started great for them.
Well, they've got Jaden Campbell back at fullback against the Dolphins this
week. Fafita's been named in the squad, hasn't
18th man and could return from a pec injury. And they, you know, they badly need some spark, don't they? And they need some steel, obviously, as well. I mean, let's face it, the Dogs haven't... Obviously, they're obviously showing some signs.
They've tried hard, the Dogs.
But to lose 32-0 against a side whose attack's been pretty ordinary, and their defence as well has been... Well, last year was the worst defence in the comp. You can't even put a point up.
No, and it could have started horribly for the Dogs on the weekend when Brimson took that bomb and passed it to 4 and he dropped it. Just on the line.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a punters club, and the bloke who's
Brimson
bed
should just put it down. He was over the line.
Mate, the bloke who's bed
put AJ. He was going to get smashed.
Yeah. He put AJ Brimson any try scorer. Oh, could you imagine what was going on? Seriously,
he just had to put it down.
Oh, horrendous.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't.
No.
Wasn't the start line.
Not good. Not good at all.
Oh, sorry, it's the Peter McDonald Cup, not Group 10. Yes, of course they've merged with Group 11. I apologise for that, Mitch. Man,
what about the Sharks?
Yeah,
have you seen the amount of injuries they've got at the moment,
issues
early in the season, with their forwards?
Finucane, facial injury. Toby Rudolph, ankle. Royce Hunt, calf. I'm missing someone. Hemi Ewelia still out. And your Raiders, are going pretty well, Oz, because they still can't fit Corey Horsburgh in that side. He returned last week in the New South Wales Cup.
Fit.
He played New South Wales Cup last week.
They've got a plethora of forwards.
They've got Trey Mooney. They've got a lot of good forwards in New South Wales Cup. A lot of good young forwards.
The big red, mate, if he's fit, he's in. Origin player.
Yeah, but they probably just need a bit of match fitness. But no. The Sharks, that's a lot of firepower out of their forward pack. Talakai has been moved to the back row. Young Iroh gets an opportunity. So that'll be good to see him play. The Raiders have been very competitive, more than competitive in the opening 3 weeks of the comp.
They could have won that game in Christchurch as well.
Oh, I thought they were terrific, yeah.
What about the criticism Loz copped for putting them in the eight? We had to name our top eight.
No one's laughing now, I don't
licking
think.
Licking your lips now.
No,
they?
But
they'll be
still
around the mark.
Well, I think they'll be around the mark.
Yeah.
I'm still not saying their certainties, even though they've won a couple of games. But I think, I just had them winning 10 to 12, 13 games.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by anything I've
seen.
Yeah,
not
surprised
seen
one bit.
Is exactly how you thought they'd play.
Because that's what they'll give you every week, or most weeks.
Yep.
Most weeks they're going to be highly competitive. And if you don't play well, they'll beat you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't beat themselves usually.
Sunday, 6:15, Fox League. Cronulla, $1.55. Canberra, $2.45 with Tab. So the Raiders plus 4.5 at the line. Tough game to tip that one because the Raiders obviously playing well, had the trip to New Zealand.
Yeah, it's a bad place to play to, Shark Park.
And they're coming off a disappointing loss, so they'll be up.
I can remember playing there, and even during the years that we were successful, I don't know whether we won too many. I don't know what the record is.
Why is it tough there to play?
Oh, we used to play night games and the wind, and it's just, I don't know. There's something about it. You know when you just have venues that for whatever reason you feel like you just struggle there? Or there's venues that you feel like you just have great success at. Like Belmore was another one.
Hard to play.
Hard to play, hard to win it. Yeah.
Just and chasing ET around, Loz?
Yeah, possibly, after the game. Are you talking on the field? Didn't touch him. But yeah, it's just a difficult place to win.
That's quite funny from you. That wasn't bad.
Very good.
Oh, are we still on air?
Understandable comment.
It's one of your best.
Mitch Manners from Sky Racing, our Gold Coast caller. Mitch, the big wet, what is doing there in the Sunshine State? How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. That was very good. One of his better ones, actually. plenty of wet weather up here at the moment. Of course, you had the news earlier, no Eagle Farm racing today. At this stage, the sort of plan of going forward with the race meetings in southeast Queensland, Toowoomba's a soft seven tomorrow. There is still some showers up there, but at this stage, they will proceed. There's no racing in Queensland on Friday, Good Friday. Doomben's obviously heavy. They're hopeful with the improved forecast from tomorrow. The probably most rain that is predicted is sort of 4 to 5 mil over Thursday and Friday. So at this stage, even though very heavy Doomben, there is hope that they'll race. Bo Desert's also in the heavy range. Again, similar forecast Thursday and Friday. A heavy night at the moment, so should be okay to race. Sunshine Coast won't be racing on their turf track on Sunday. They'll go to the Poly. So it's been relentless in the last couple of days. Not overly heavy rain, but just constant and up towards sort of 100-odd mil over the last sort of 48 hours in most places up from southeast Queensland up the coastline, even to further west and heading out towards places like Toowoomba. So it's been a pretty wet week the last couple of days, but hopefully that forecast does improve from this afternoon. They're sort of suggesting that the showers the rain will ease to showers. And then from tomorrow onwards, not too much more. But while I've got the opportunity to, how good were the Dogs on Saturday?
They were very good, Mitchy. They'll need to be like that again this week against South on Friday. But, yeah, no, I thought they were great. They've tried hard the opening two games, but it all sort of just came together for them against, an ordinary Titans team, though. Geez, that was an ordinary performance from them. They'll need to pick it up this week against the Dolphins. Otherwise, Desi's got big drama on his hands up there.
The Titans players having too many days at the races with you lot, are they? What's going on up there?
Well, it's a great lifestyle, as you boys know. Yeah, they haven't started too well in the season, but hopefully they can sort of get back on track this week. But losing Tino is not a great help to them going forward either. So, they're in all sorts after last weekend. But I'm not overly confident of what might happen for the rest of the year. But I went and raced out and got my grand final tickets after full time on Saturday. So it's one step at a time.
Yeah, so did Clarkey. Dogs, Tigers, grand final. All right. Eagle.
I'll see you there, Clarkey.
Yeah. Look forward to it, buddy.
Yeah. Eagle Farm obviously off, as we mentioned, but if we got anything, I don't know. Have you looked at Toowoomba tomorrow? Have you got something for us? We'll take anything anywhere, Mitch, if you've got anything.
Toowoomba tomorrow, the first race. Chris Waller's got a horse called Discover. It was very good at Doomben two starts ago, running second. If it can repeat that run, it's too good for these. The only knock was its last run was below par, raced flat, sort of was the only explanation that the stewards could come up with, and so too Ryan Maloney. They've slightly freshened it up. It certainly gets its chance to win a race tomorrow because some of these would struggle to run a second in Brisbane. So race one, number one, Discover, make it nice and simple. And so that's our best for Toowoomba tomorrow. Happy Easter, boys.
Yeah, you too, mate. Have a great one. And we'll chat next week. Race one, number one, Toowoomba tomorrow, Discover.